Good evening, squirrels. Welcome to episode 5021.
It is episode.
That's how it feels in Brita time.
It is 336.
Wow. Oh, it's the Marlin episode. Okay. Hashtag gun geek.
That's right.
Oh.
What is that?
That's a big glass of port.
Oh, boy. That's port
my
again.
Dinner. That's my dinner.
Well, you know, calories is calories, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all fuel. Down in the weight room today.
Awesome.
So what you're saying is your body's a flex fuel vehicle?
Yes, it
indeed.
Is. I get to park in whatever space I want.
What percentage of ethanol is that E15 or?
It's E something. That's for damn sure.
E85.
I had a gluten-free beer and tacos for dinner.
Gluten-free beer and tacos.
Well, I want to tell everybody that, like, my trick for dinners throughout the week. Put a giant chunk of meat in the crock pot, and that way you'll have meat cooked. It could be pork or beef. Usually pork or beef is usually the best. And and that way you'll have like meat, and then you can like hack it the next day. You can have like a stir fry, a really quick stir fry, or really quick tacos, or really quick whatever. But the meat is already done, and you don't have to worry about it. So that is my cooking tip of the week.
Now you said
large chunks of meat in the crock pot.
Beef or pork, but not chicken?
Chicken gets... I don't really like chicken in the crock pot. It gets a little weird. Like, if you do breasts, it gets dry in the crock pot. And then if you do chicken thighs in the crock pot, it gets kind of greasy, you know. Although I love chicken thighs. Like, you know, that's pretty much all I buy. But chicken thighs in the crock pot, everything gets kind of greasy. So, you know... Stick to the mammals, I guess.
So, Jay was just informing us he got a new phone.
I did. MDiv shamed me.
Give us the details, because I'm sure MDiv will want to know.
Before you talk about the new one, what your old one was a 6 something or a 5?
A 6, yeah.
6?
It was a 6, like just a plain 6. Okay. So it was like... pretty old. I started looking up, as I mentioned a couple of shows ago, the screen started to separate from the body, which is a rather common thing on the sixes because apparently the battery swells, right. Which was interesting. And
because it's a swell battery.
So, Alan coming over the top rope with the dad joke. I applaud you, sir. Well done. You know, and apparently this was a common thing that happened with the sixes. And I realized looking at some of the, you know, the Q&As, you know, because you type in iPhone screen separating and, you know, it gives you 150 billion hits. And some of them went back to 2014. So I was like, oh, I did not realize the 6 was that old. And I realized, well, I got mine in 16. So that's about right. Because it was not the newest phone at the time. It was like the cheaper. I think that they might have even had the 8 out when the 8. That's like the little bastard iPhone nobody wants to talk about. They're like, we've got the 7, which doesn't have a headphone jack. Check me out. Oh, and here's the 8. Oh, but we've got the 10. So I have a 10R. Which everyone calls the XR because, well, that's what it is. It's the XR.
What color did you get?
I went all black. Ooh. Black phone, black case. I had a white phone with a gray case before, so it's kind of like different.
Okay.
I'm boring. I'm like super boring. But I really, really actually like the 10R a lot.
Have you tried the face recognition thing yet?
People have been complaining about it, but mine works way more than the thumbprint ever did.
You have a very distinctive face.
Apparently, the phone recognizes it.
The problem I have with it is you have to point the phone at your face in order for it to work.
Well, yeah. Yeah, there is that. It does need to actually see your face to recognize it as your face.
That's, yeah. I like being able to, you know, I like the old where I could just, like, you know, get it from the angle.
The lift to activate takes some getting used to because I'm so used to just pushing the little home button.
That's irritating too. There is a rumor that if not the next one, but the one after that, that we'll go back to a fingerprint scanner underneath the glass. So I don't know if that's accurate or not, but there are some Android phones that have the fingerprint scanner under the glass, so it can be done. It's just,
you know, where it's got the glass and it's got the battery. I wonder if you could like make it like a little tiny portable cooktop. Just saying.
Yeah, you know, all you have to do is short the lithium battery and it'll cook really well.
It'll cook all right, but so I've been kind of exploring. I have most of my functionality back.
So how do you like the size of the XR compared to the 6? Is it about the same? Well, or is it?
It's about the same. I kind of sort of cheated because I went from an Otterbox Defender to an Otterbox Commuter. So I got a smaller case, which I think kept the overall size pretty close.
Sounds like you're talking about Transformers.
Yes, that's exactly it.
The Autobots.
I like that the screen like goes further. It doesn't have like the big band of nothing at the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
Because that always struck me as just kind of being dumb, dead space. I don't like that you can't do the battery percentage. That bothers me. You can. You can see it, but
it just has a little icon. Yeah. It doesn't have the number.
If you swipe from the top right corner, it'll give you the percentage. It gives you like the notification screen. I like that if it's off and you lift it up, you can push and hold the button for the camera because that's really convenient.
Yep. And the flashlight too.
Yes. Of course, I always have a tactical flashlight because, you know, that's how I roll. My tactical flashlight is actually one of the little rechargeable ones that's on my keychain.
Oh, I was about to say. Actually, I'm trying to figure out where on your bat belt you keep it.
I just got a new genetics report from 23andMe. According to 23andMe, I have a genetic predisposition to prefer vanilla ice cream over chocolate.
Really?
I did not check that because I just assumed it was vanilla, or I just assumed it was chocolate because I love chocolate ice cream. But now I don't know if 23andMe has it right. I don't know.
I think I deleted that email.
Ice cream flavor preference. Based on your genetics and other factors, you're more likely to prefer vanilla ice cream over chocolate ice cream. I like chocolate ice cream too, but vanilla and the vanilla derivatives.
They have it right. More likely to prefer chocolate over vanilla. Correct.
Okay. Who knew there was a genetic marker for ice cream flavor?
And do you like vanilla more than chocolate?
Yeah, I mean, I like them both. I'll happily eat chocolate ice cream, but, you know, I do tend to prefer the vanilla and the vanilla derivatives.
Is this because it's a super taster thing?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's not like I'll turn down chocolate ice cream. I mean, I love chocolate ice cream, but, you know, I also like vanilla and, you know, cookies and cream. And actually, cookies and cream has chocolate in it. I mean, come on, it's ice cream.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So, there you go. Science, bitches.
Science, I don't know.
Science, and bitches.
It may not be.
May not be?
I don't know.
I'm going to start calling Occasional Cortex the future ex-congressperson.
Yeah, bless her heart.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
There's already been lawsuits on her.
Oh yeah. She's being sued under the Trump ruling.
Yep, because she was crowing about how, oh, he can't block people. That's a First Amendment violation. And then people are like, you're blocking us. So, yeah.
Well, then she got into that kerfuffle with Pelosi.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a, that's a brilliant plan.
Yeah, she's not going to get reelected.
They're going to primary her. I guarantee it.
Oh, I'm sure of it. The thing that I just, when somebody does something, you're like, either you're really, really dumb or really, really brave. And she basically came out and called Pelosi, didn't call her, but insinuated that maybe, what? Hello? Is Jay there?
Yeah, it just cut out. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we're still here.
Okay. But
okay, I'm still here. Sorry.
AOC basically came out and insinuated that maybe Nancy Pelosi is a racist.
Oh, no, because, she didn't insinuate. She flat out said.
Well,
yeah, because Pelosi gave her a good committee assignment to keep her busy.
Yeah, and also...
You know, to make her do your job. The job you paid $175,000 a year for.
Right. And also, Nancy Pelosi is being critical of the new women of color elected,
Yeah, AOC and her squad. I'm like,
her squad.
My God,
is this high school? Seriously?
I was just, oh, Brita, that's scary. Because I was just going to say, my daughter, who is a junior in high school, refers to her and her friends as a squad.
Oh, that's cute.
Which, when it's a 16-year-old girl.
Cute.
Well.
Jay's, think we're... Jay is cutting in and out.
I heard him.
Uh-oh.
I don't.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
That's weird. Alan can hear me, but Brita can't.
Mm.
Should I go back to the iPad? I can
no,
do
no,
that.
No. It's probably me.
Yeah, well, she said, what Pelosi said was that, of the, what was it, 3 or 4 or whatever it is.
The 4.
They have their public whatever and their Twitter world, but they don't have any following. They're 4 people, and that's how many votes they've got.
Which is not wrong.
That's what Pelosi said. And this is all in Twitter, which is just stupid. But, we've got, Congress critters that are, having a Twitter spat.
Yeah, I really take issue with the amount of social media that's involved in politics these days. It's like even Mitch McConnell, for God's sake, he's like on Twitter. Yeah. And it's like the strangest thing to me is like, is that how we're governing now? Like through Twitter?
Government by Twitter. And Twitter is such a small, the number of people that are on Twitter is like minute.
Well,
the number of people that are actively on Twitter is even smaller than that. It's like the ultimate echo chamber.
Of course.
So
Twitter
so,
is just, they're just a bunch of, I've said it before. Twitter is like a cesspool of narcissists.
It is.
It really is. Shouting at each other.
Yep.
More shouting past each other. But
yeah, nobody's listening. It's dumb.
And Trump is trolling everyone. I'm sorry. I think it's hysterical.
Yeah. I do think he's baiting them. It's pretty terrific.
Oh,
he's a real stable genius.
He's handsome. He's
handsome.
He's a masturbator.
Oh, Alan. No.
Wow.
All right. Good night, folks.
Thank you. I'll be here all the week.
But you gotta think. The way it works in Congress is the freshmen basically do nothing. If you're new, you sit down and shut up, and you do what you're told, and that's how it's been forever. And then all of a sudden these people that they're with their Twitters and their Twitter followers think that that matters, you know? And it's like, you know, it's like the young bull that gets his horns and he goes walking up to the old bull and says, you know, let's fight. And the old bull goes, you know, give me a break. Go away, kid. You bother me.
Go on, kid. You bother me.
Yeah, that's, you know.
I like that Alan, who's like the senior senator of our group, remembers W.C. Fields. Did you see him in vaudeville, Alan?
No, I did not. I don't know if I ever saw him live.
What? Oh, my God. Now I have to look up W.C. Fields. I hate you.
Let's see.
He was famous for having the cigar.
He died in 1946. You did not see him in
prison. Yeah, you did not see him, Alan.
Well, I saw him in lots of old movies and
stuff. He died on Christmas. That kind of sucks.
Go away, kid. You bother me.
William Claude Dukenfield.
Oh, wow. Boy. Wow. I didn't know that.
I'd go by WC, too.
Yeah.
Did he start like on?
He was a vaudeville.
Vaudeville. Wow. Yeah.
Born in 1880.
Yep.
He's only 66, which I guess at the time wasn't terribly old.
That was pretty old at the time.
Huh. Anywho.
Yeah.
So anywho, yes, we. Get off on a little tangent, as we do. Then we had some other things to chat about, didn't we?
We did.
I wanted to talk about the Twitter Trump thing. That's kind of where I was trying to get into.
Yeah, you were trying to say, you were trying really hard. You're doing a great job.
I spun out and didn't work. But anyway, so the federal court said that Trump can't block people.
Yeah.
Because of the First Amendment.
Yeah. Okay.
And yet.
He's not allowed to send people to Twitter jail.
Right.
Okay.
But so there's these huge arguments that I've seen because I'm a dumbass and I read the comments where people are arguing. And these are liberals that are trying to make the argument that Trump can't ban anyone.
Okay.
Block anyone on Twitter. But it's perfectly okay for Twitter to block people and ban people.
Yes, I would imagine.
Yeah. See, I think that's more tenable than Trump can't block people, but AOC can.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's sauce for the, you can't. You know, if Trump can't block anyone, then AOC can't block anyone.
Right. If you're a politician, you cannot block someone.
Right.
Period.
But here's the thing. So if it's a First Amendment violation for Trump to block people, which basically removes their access to his Twitter feed and potentially and removes, it's not so much that they can't see what he says, it's that they can't talk to him.
Right.
Because you can see what people say without having a Twitter account. I mean, that's, right.
So, I mean, I can.
But wait. If Trump eliminating the possibility of people tweeting to him is a First Amendment violation, then it stands to reason that Twitter, by blocking people, removes their ability to tweet at Trump as well. So if I go to Twitter jail or if Twitter blocks me, I mean, God, I haven't logged into Twitter in years, but yeah. You know, but theoretically, let's say that I was one of these people that Twitter blocked and all of a sudden I can't tweet Trump. Isn't that a First Amendment problem?
You know, that's a great point. At first I was going to argue that, well, Trump represents the government and the government can't stop you from, and then I was like, oh, but you know what? When Twitter blocks you,
that's right.
You can't respond to you can't respond to Trump or your local representative or your state representative or your U.S. congressman. If their rationale is Trump can't block people because it restricts access to your government representation.
Right. If it's a if it's a First Amendment violation for Trump to block you, then it is a First Amendment violation for Twitter to block you as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm with Alan.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. It's because they're a private entity.
So is Trump.
No, but the thing Trump is not.
Because Twitter is not an official government thing.
Right. Exactly. That's why
He's not tweeting as President of the United States.
Yes, he is.
I understand that, but his Twitter account predated him being president.
That does not matter.
Well, I'm just saying.
No.
But see, Brita, the way I'm approaching it is that the ruling is,
oh, you're cutting out, Jay.
Yeah.
By block, they post that. So,
whoa, Jay had room.
Okay. Yeah. Am I back? Am I back yet?
You're back. Yeah. Okay. Whoa.
So,
don't do it again.
Okay. I did nothing, but anyway.
Okay.
If Trump blocks someone, they cannot respond to him, and that's where the First Amendment violation comes in.
Correct. Well,
if Twitter blocks you, you can't respond to Trump either.
Okay.
So, if it's a First Amendment violation when Trump blocks you, it has to be a First Amendment violation when Twitter blocks you. Because the end result is you still cannot comment on your public officials.
Mm-mm. I disagree.
If the reason for the First Amendment violation is you are not able to communicate with the public official, it doesn't matter who does the blocking.
I think it does matter who does the blocking.
Well, I mean,
I think it matters because where does the blocking originate? If it originates with Twitter, then they're perfectly within their rights to do that as a private company. And, you know, it's like you're allowed to not bake the gay marriage cake as a bakery.
Yeah, but apparently you're not.
Well, that.
This is kind of like an Alinsky thing. It's making them live up to their own rules.
Yep.
Well, I agree. But I'm just saying that Twitter can tomorrow dump everybody.
They can go out of business and pull the plug.
Not even go out of business. Just like push the button and be like, nope, you're all gone. Bye-bye. Nobody's talking to anybody. Bye-bye.
Sure they can.
They would be within their rights to do that. And nobody can talk to the president. Nobody can listen to the president. Bye-bye. Well, beep. They could do it.
I agree. And I also
They do not owe anybody a platform. They don't owe anybody, like, you know, being able to see someone else's platform. No. I don't think it's a First Amendment issue on Twitter's end at all.
But you're in an irrational world. But you based on that, then you also have to say that Trump can block anybody he wants to. If somebody's being abusive or something like that, he should be able to block someone. Well, that's what these people are. These people that sued are abusive assholes that are, you know, that are.
I mean, is there a special? I think this is like a Brave New World as far as like legal stuff is. Yes, it is. And I'm sure people way smarter than me will figure it out. But I don't think Twitter can be held to like First Amendment sort of standards at all. Because literally, like tomorrow, they could dump everybody and nobody can talk to anybody. Sorry, Twitter says bye bye. And they would be allowed to do that. So I don't know.
I think that what we're going to see is going to be, you know, these social media platforms are going to turn into heavily regulated things.
Because of course they will.
Because, well, yeah, and it's because of the influence they wield.
Yeah, you know, of course.
It's, you know, Google, I mean, Google's already been caught manipulating search results to you know, for one viewpoint or another viewpoint. Facebook does the same thing. Facebook came out. Did you see the thing Facebook did where they came out and said, you know, we don't permit anybody to issue death threats unless it's a person we put on our banned list. Then it's perfectly okay to issue them death threats, which is technically illegal in almost every country that's, you know, first world country. So, you know, Jesus, you can't.
I really think that I just want to put it out there that I really think that the role of Twitter and other social media outlets in government needs to really be looked at.
I agree.
I could not agree more.
And I know why they do it, because it gets a lot of eyeballs, and I know that they love the echo chamber as narcissists. I know they love that.
Sure.
But I really think that on a certain level it needs to be reevaluated, because it causes so many problems. I mean, not just legally, but also, like, how do I put this? Like, socially.
Yep.
Like, you know, the AOC thing. She's in her little echo chamber all day long on the Twitter, you know, and narcissists love Twitter. Like, they're getting instant feedback, and they're getting the likes, and they're getting the things, and they're getting the retweets and whatever the fuck. And so people, you know, narcissists love to be in government because they love, you know, being.
Yep. And every time they see one of those retweets, they get a little dopamine hit.
Yeah, sure. And so, but it really, I think the whole social media plus government thing needs to be addressed. Because you have to admit that on a certain level, social media, like, it always defaults to the lowest common denominator.
Oh, yeah. It's a cancer. There's no question about that.
It's seriously just a cesspool. So, yeah. Anyway, rant over.
Even Facebook is awful.
I just look at cat pictures.
It's not as bad. It's not as bad as it's not as bad as Twitter. A lot of the reason Facebook to me isn't as bad as Twitter is because I unfriend or block everybody that's an asshole.
Yeah, I do too.
And, you know, I like seeing what people post about what they're doing and pictures of their cats and, you know, their vacation pictures and stuff like that. I like that. I don't like the argumentative bullshit and the, you know.
Yeah. What the hell is it called? Muting or it's, you know, you're not like unfriending someone. You're
unfollowing.
Just, I don't want to see their shit.
Yeah. You know? Unfollowing.
Following.
You get a 30 day hiatus. Shit.
Some people have been,
because I'm sick of your shit. Like
more than longer than that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I go through my list sometimes. I'm like, oh, that I'm still friends with that person? Huh.
Delete. Yeah.
No more. I ain't.
I think social media was an interesting experiment, but in the end, I think it's made all of us a lot more antisocial.
It really has.
And it's angry and...
Well, I think...
You know...
The problem is you've got, you know, in any group of people, you're going to have, you know, there's always going to be an asshole that ruins it for everyone.
Sure.
And the problem is that prior to social media, our interaction with those people was fairly limited.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in real life, it's easy to avoid unpleasant people.
Right.
The problem,
which is why I've blocked all of my family.
Right. So the problem is on social media, you're exposed to, you know, billions of people. And so what is, you know, out of billions of people, you know, even if 1%, you know, 1/10 of 1% are assholes, that's still millions of assholes.
Yep.
So, yeah, and you know, it's like you're so, you know, even if you're, I mean, I catch myself every once in a while. I'll be like making some snarky reply or something like that, and I'm like, and I just stop and I just delete it. I go, it doesn't fucking matter.
No,
I don't care.
It doesn't. You know, another interesting thing that I've noticed, you know, doing the transition from blog world to social media world, and because there was a transition there, you know, that there, like, the people that, And maybe it still happens with social media because people will create groups, like Facebook groups of similar interests. And like people, like the gun blogs, like we all were into guns, we're all in the Second Amendment, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then like as social media progressed, we're all like, wait a minute, I really don't like this person outside of like our one single interest.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think the more social we became outside of us, you know, the single interest, it was like, wait a minute. Yeah. I don't want to be friends with you.
Yeah, you know? This person's a jerk. Yeah, they like guns. Yeah. But damn.
Yeah, right.
They're kind of a shitbag.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. It's just interesting as far as, you know, sociology kind of interpersonal stuff. It's interesting.
There's absolutely a sociology PhD in Facebook.
There should probably be
like 7 or 8 of them.
You know, 50 years from now, the sociologists and political scientists studying social media, it's going to be, and you know, assuming that, you know, Facebook's still around, then the data will all be there.
Enjoying
my cat pictures, everybody.
Yeah, that's the thing
that bothers me is the unashamed manipulation that they do. You know, it's like, you know, their public face is like, oh no, we don't, you know, we don't do anything like that. But you get them in private, it's like, oh yeah, we totally screw those guys over.
You mean like the Washington Post? Ooh, democracy dies in darkness. Yeah. Meanwhile, here's a bunch of shit we're burying.
Right.
Like, yeah. You hypocritical motherfuckers.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Google does it, and Twitter does it, and Facebook does it, and, you know, everybody, they all do it. And you know, it's you know, you can make the case that, yeah, they're private companies, but the problem is they're private companies and the externalities of those companies, and that's an economics word. The externalities are, you know, spill over into, you know, the rest of us. And they're not, you know, it's like when a factory pollutes, you know, the air or the water or whatever, right? You know, they're not paying for, you know, to clean that shit up, and they screw everybody else around them. I mean, this is, you know, these, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all that, they're polluting the body politic with their garbage. And they're not paying the, you know, for the repercussions or anything. So,
yeah, you're getting like real deep on us, Alan.
I'm sorry. I'll try to lighten
it. It's like deep thoughts with Alan.
How about? No, I can't talk about that.
Yeah. thank you.
What about, we haven't talked about Epstein. We got to talk about Epstein.
Oh, yes. Epstein, we could talk about all day long.
Okay.
Epstein and the pedophile island.
Oh, he sold his plane, apparently. I saw a thing just a little while ago. Apparently he sold his plane like a few weeks ago, the Lolita Express.
That's going to be like a hell of an eBay listing. You know, it's like, hey, looking to go to an island of underage females? We've got just the conveyance for you.
I would sweep that thing for DNA.
Can you imagine going in there with a black plane? Oh, man.
Ew.
Holy moly.
I like the theory that the real target is Trump.
Yes.
I think there's no question.
There's no question.
Because they, you know, it's another one of those everybody knew things, right?
Of course.
People joked about it.
Yeah.
For 2 decades, they've joked about Epstein and his, you know, pedophile island and, you know, all that stuff. And nobody ever did anything. And, you know, now suddenly.
Yeah, you know, all of a sudden.
And apparently the person in charge of the group that's prosecuting him is Comey's daughter.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no, there's nothing fishy about this.
Well, I mean, he's absolutely a shitbag, and he absolutely needs to be, you know, hauled into court and needs to pay for his crimes. But I think this is a case of the Democrats doing scorched earth, you know, and if it takes down a few Democrats and they get Trump, hey, score.
Oh, that, yeah, that's a small price to pay.
Right.
There's no question there. The problem is that every single indicator is that Trump was like, oh, this guy's a shitbag, get rid of him.
Oh yeah, he kicked him out of what was the
his Mar-a-Lago
resort. Yeah, he kicked him out of his resort like 15 years ago for hitting up on some like 14-year-old or something. He's like, nope, get the fuck out of here. And you know, it's like, you know, people always bring up that quote where Trump was talking about how, you know, great Epstein was, but you got to understand that at a political level, people say that shit about each other all the time, and they hate each other.
Yep.
You know, like a Republican will stand up in the Senate and go, my good friend, Joe Blow, esteemed Democrat senator from, they absolutely hate each other, but they'll still say they're the greatest thing there ever was. And that's how those people operate at that level is, you know, they're, you know, you can't take what Trump said 20 years ago about Epstein as and apply it to today, because it just doesn't work that way. Meanwhile, let's completely ignore the fact that Bill Clinton is on the record in the flight logs of being on that plane no fewer than 27 times.
Yep, without Secret Service
often
oversight.
Many of them without Secret Service. So, you know, what the fuck? You know, Trump said he was a good guy 20 years ago, but let's completely ignore the fact that Clinton, you know, come on.
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
And they're, like Breida pointed out, they are perfectly willing to burn down Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
To get Trump.
He can't.
Here's the thing.
Anymore.
The Clintons haven't had power in how many years?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. They are reaping the whirlwind of her not winning in 16.
7 years out of power.
Yep. And the thing is, 3 years ago, she was going to win. She was president.
Yep.
So there was a lot to gain by protecting the Clintons and,
Oh, yeah. If Hillary was president now, this would never come up. They'd be like, Epstein who? What? No.
Yeah, there would have been a series of mysterious suicides, and that's about it.
And there still might be.
Yeah, that possibility is still there.
Yeah, you never know. Epstein could still kill himself in solitary confinement.
He could still shoot himself in the back 14 times.
Exactly. You never know. It's happened before. Yeah, but you see the pictures of the inside of that 727 that Epstein owned. Oh my God, it was like a whorehouse on wheels.
I did not see the pictures of it.
Oh yeah, there's the.
And this is the same plane, Clinton.
Yep, the Lolita Express, his own personal 727.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. This is bad.
Yep. Just Google, you know, photos of the, you know, Lolita Express. It's they're just like sofas and couches and, you know, all kinds of. I don't see a bondage room or anything, but you never know.
Yeah, and Alan, I know you as a fellow father of a young girl. We know what we would do.
Oh yeah.
And it would involve power equipment and a lot of digging. Let's just leave it at that. And,
I'm surprised, given what he's done, I'm surprised he's still kicking. I'm surprised
very
he's
rich.
Still alive. Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you know, I had a number of things, okay, about Epstein. Number one, like, he has been kind of been under the magnifying glass and the microscope for this, you know, pedophile thing for a decade, right? And yet, when they raided his house, he still had photos in his possession in his house.
Yeah,
right.
In a safe. Which makes me think, like, why were these photos so important to keep in a safe?
Because that was his blackmail.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking they were the blackmail photos. Yeah.
That's exactly it. The only reason for bringing these powerful people on these trips was to get incriminating photos.
Right.
So you've got something to hold against them.
Yep.
You know, it's like, hey, I got an idea. You go with my project, or these photos of you with a 12-year-old mysteriously go on page 6.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering is, you know, they found all these photos and stuff in his safe, and they talk about the, you know, scantily clad and naked girls and all that kind of stuff. And my question is, who else was in those photos?
Yeah.
Because they didn't mention that.
Yeah. Yep.
But you have all these peripheral people that they keep bringing up, like the people that went out and found the girls and the people that went out and you know, got them and brought them back and, you know, paid them and all this other stuff, you know. So those, you know, those people are as yet unnamed for the most part. But they're definitely complicit. And then, you know, what about everybody that went on those flights? How could you go on the flight to that island and not know?
Yeah, they did.
Every single person. And they have the flight logs. There's a PDF. There's like, I don't know if it's the full thing, but they have the flight logs. There's like 112 pages of flight logs. And it lists the date and the time and who was on the flight. And there's lots of names of famous people and also names like Tiffany and Heather and, you know, stuff like that. That's just like in initials and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff that, you know, it's very suspicious.
Another thing I want to know, Al Gore. Now, Al Gore was accused of, you know, sexual assault by a number of masseuse or massage therapists, right?
Yep.
Even going as far as to call him a crazed sex poodle.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
So that, I mean, that's within the same time as, you know, Clinton and Epstein, right?
Yeah, and pretty much.
Epstein's MO for grooming young girls to, like, give him sexual favors was he would start them out by getting them to give him massages.
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of like a...
Is that like a common thing?
I think it is because what's his name did that too.
Weinstein.
Yeah, Weinstein did that too.
I guess that's a common thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if Al Gore showed up at the Crazed Sex Poodle Island.
Crazed Sex Poodle Island. I love that. I mean, I don't love it, but that it has its own name. You know, that we can quantify this as, oh, yes, this is the island that prominent Democrats went to have illicit intercourse with underage females.
Well, you know,
the fact that this has not been nuked.
Yeah, these people went to that island when it was known to popular culture as Lolita Island.
Right.
Yeah. And the plane they flew there on was known to popular culture as Lolita Express.
Yep.
You know, hello, how about, you know, Jesus Christ, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
You know.
Hubris.
Well, yeah, but God, it's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, damn.
They will always cover for us.
Yeah, I guess so. Because.
You know, there will always be cover. We will never have to worry about this coming to light. Think about that. Think about the hubris in knowing for a fact that the media is so in the fucking tank for your party that they will cover up one of the most heinous crimes imaginable, that you are selling underage females into sexual slavery. That's mm-hmm. how deep the media is in the tank for the Democratic Party. They will overlook.
Well, wait a minute, Jay. It's not just Democrats, because Trump said that one time that he was an okay guy.
Yes.
You know, Trump is absolutely as guilty as Bill Clinton in his 27 trips. So, you know,
Orange Man
it's,
bad.
It's exactly
because
the same.
Trump knew this guy.
That's right, and that means he's Hitler.
He's the worst Hitler ever. He can't even be Hitler right. But yeah, you know that when you're so confident that the media will cover for you that I can't even begin to wrap my head around how heinous this is and how derelict the mainstream media is for not doing basic journalism on this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they have completely abandoned, you know, again, Larry Craig hounded from office because of his wide stance in a restroom in fucking Idaho. Bill Clinton gets on a plane to go rape underage girls. Perfectly fine. No, there's no double standard here, folks. We are the Washington Post where democracy dies in darkness. But ignore the story about prominent Democrats raping underage girls. How do you square that?
He did not have sexual intercourse with that girl.
You would fucking murder people over. I get no question. Yeah. Did I just Jay Headroom? Because
no,
there was
fine.
A lot of
no. But you know, even with this whole thing coming out, I'm not even holding my breath about anything going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
I mean, we had this whole thing, like, you know, with Hillary and her email and her server and, you know, they took hammers to iPhones and all this stuff and still nothing.
Yep. Yep. Well, we know there's enough evidence, but, you know, we couldn't get a conviction. So we're just going to let it slide.
Well,
the guy that was the lead prosecutor back in 2008 that did the deal with Epstein is now the labor secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he was told to go light on him because he's owned by the intelligence community.
Yep. He's essentially Billy Bulger. I'm sorry, Whitey Bulger.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if how much of that's going on because, you know, why does, you know, Chief Justice?
This is a horrible person,
Why does the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court always seem to make those one, you know, vote changes that always seem to go a certain way?
Yeah.
You know, why do people, you know, I was reading a great article on somebody was saying the whole honeypot thing and the whole, you know, bribery and all that kind of stuff is probably insanely rampant. I mean, you think about these guys, these politicians, they get elected, they're raging narcissists to start with. Some cute young girl comes on to him and, you know, he's thinking, oh yeah, she really likes me, you know, and, you know, I mean, it's like a no fail thing. Right. And then whoever's running her has dirt on this guy and they can make him do whatever they want.
Yep. You know? Yep.
I'm sure it's not just Epstein. I'm sure this is going on. The Russians, we know the Russians have done it. We know there was that Russian, remember the Russian spy, what's her name that they arrested and then whooshed out of the country real quick before she could talk?
The redhead?
Yeah, remember her?
I do. I don't remember her name though.
Yeah, I don't remember her name either, but she was running those honey pot things, you know, and they got her out real quick. Back to back to Russia before she could talk about, you know, who'd she been with. The Chinese do, everybody does it. I bet the, you know,
the, it has, remember, been done throughout human history.
Well, there,
I'm
was,
sure.
There was also the guy Jay knows this, the guy that Ralph Nader, when Ralph Nader was going to come out with his Unsafe at Any Speed book, General Motors actually hired a hooker and to try to get him to you know, get him to compromise, and he didn't fall for it, and later GM had to come out and they had to apologize for it. And this was General Motors trying to get Durrell and this guy to get him to shut up. So, I mean, that's documented fact. So, you know, if GM's doing it, I have to assume it's rampant.
Oh yeah.
And yet everybody's all up on Pence for not going out to anybody anywhere that, yes, you know, yes, by himself with anybody that's not his wife. And talking about how awful that is. I think he's the smartest motherfucker up there. He knows what's going on. There's a reason that Pence acts like that. And I bet you that this is exactly why. He doesn't want to show the appearance of any impropriety. He doesn't want, you know, because he knows it goes on.
Yep. Yep. And he wants to make sure he stays above that.
Exactly.
And because of that, he was vilified.
Yeah,
I think that's the best part. They're going to ignore Bill Clinton getting on the Lolita Express several dozen times. But God damn it, we're going to destroy Mike Pence because he won't go to dinner with a woman without someone else present.
Right.
Like, of all the things to get freaked out about, this is a common sense thing. You're a public figure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what would happen if Mike Pence went to dinner with, I don't know, pick a popular, attractive actress.
Right.
Just anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. Insert name here.
Yep. Oh, it'd be the scandal of the week.
Oh, my God. You Pence, hey, you know, what is he hiding? Right. Does his wife know? You know?
Yeah, we caught him.
Yeah. On tape, Mike Pence with...
Or it could be one of those things where, you know, some woman comes out of the woodwork and, you know, like they did for Kavanaugh, and just claims, you know, makes up some complete bullshit story. And, you know, so, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, he, you know, 20 years ago, he molested me. Well,
yeah, no, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, well beyond the period at which any human being would be expected to actually remember stuff. This is what I claim happened. No, I have no physical evidence. No, nobody else can back me up on this, but it happened. Trust me.
I saw an article that said that the Trump administration had proof that she was lying. The first one about Kavanaugh.
Going as fast as you can.
Uh-oh.
Nope.
Sorry. What? Never mind.
Tag alert.
Autoplay. Sorry about that.
So, no, the article said the Trump administration had proof that she was lying about all this stuff, but they didn't release it because the optics of, you know,
right.
Of you know, would have looked bad. They, you know, oh, you're beating up on this poor woman.
This poor woman who has suffered this trauma that only she has evidence of.
Right. Well, she didn't.
I read today that they discovered that one of the weird things about her was that she had absolutely zero social media presence. And they went and they investigated. I mean, zero. But in investigation, they found, what is that sound?
Oops, sorry.
Jay.
That's me. That's
me. Eating chips?
I'm packing my lunch.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to be efficient because I'm on my phone and I'm mobile.
Oh, so you think you can, yeah. But,
I thought it was quiet. I was obviously wrong.
It's the famous iPhone microphone.
The iPhone mic that picks up anything but your voice with astonishing clarity.
Yes. But anyway, so they discovered that she, right before she wrote the letter to Feinstein that she wrote? Yeah. Dianne Feinstein? She wrote the letter. Right before that, she went online and scrubbed every single social media account.
Imagine that.
There's nothing suspicious here. And
wasn't she also saying that she didn't intend for it to be public when she wrote Feinstein?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we all know that that's not really scrubbed.
Of course not.
Somewhere out there, someone has a full accounting
of
her social media presence before she scrubbed it.
Of course they do.
I wonder what they're waiting for before they make it public.
They're not going to. It's Facebook. Facebook's on the Democrat side. Twitter. They're all in the tank.
Can I mention just briefly about the fundraiser that I posted on the Squirrel Report page?
Yes, please do.
Because not only do I think it's a great cause, but I also think that it's fascinating.
It's a medical miracle.
It kind of is. I hate to say that sort of thing, but it is. Really. Okay, so I posted a thing on the Facebook page, the Squirped, and I saw it because I follow Dakota Meyer on Facebook, and he is a Marine sniper, and he served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he also is a recipient of the Medal of Honor, and he has had PTSD and anxiety pretty... Jay,
what are you doing? Yes. Good Lord.
Put us on mute, Jay.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything.
Not now, you're not.
I am doing nothing.
Sit in a chair, Jay. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Okay, anyway, so Dakota Meyer.
Right.
Medal of Honor winner, PTSD and anxiety, and he had pretty severe PTSD, and had gone through multiple drugs, multiple therapies, and finally found a thing that worked. And I think it's amazing. It's called SGB, Stellate Ganglion Block. And it's basically like a nerve block. And I don't have time to Google it now. It's the end of the show. But essentially, they do a nerve block, and it's in your neck.
Yep.
And they do it with ultrasound, so they can get it very precisely in the right area. And this is one of the things that Dakota Meyer said is essential, that they use... they use ultrasound to get it exactly right, because apparently he had a number of these blocks, but the only one that has worked was the one that he had under ultrasound. And I Googled it, and essentially this sympathetic nerve block, they inject a local anesthetic into the front of the neck, and it reboots your nervous system. Like, it reboots whatever is causing PTSD, it reboots it. And it gives you, like, a break from PTSD, and allows you, to, like, get a break from it, so that you're able to, like, clearly think and go get therapy and go do the work and become... not cure. There's no miracle cure for this, but it is like a miracle treatment it's just amazing. That it's just like this injection into a nerve, and it boom, reboots your system.
Right.
Amazing.
So it's basically like control alt delete through CNS.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
And they initially used this nerve block as, for relief of chronic pain. And in using it, they noticed there were also psychiatric impact. And so I guess
it says an old treatment.
It is a super old treatment because, I mean, it's a nerve block, right? So it treats chronic pain, all that sort of stuff. But then in 1988, a Finnish physician treated a patient who was suffering from both severe hand sweating and PTSD. And so they give him this nerve block, and much to the doctor's surprise, the patient reported relief of the hand sweating as well as relief from his PTSD. And so they've been doing like all sorts of, you know, tests for this, and they are treating a lot of people who with PTSD. And they said that, says it's not a cure. However, the symptoms of PTSD can be controlled for a very long time with one treatment.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. And they've said that the longest follow-up available to date is a soldier that had severe PTSD from combat in Iraq. He was treated 10 years ago and is still doing well.
Yeah, that's
it's
pretty amazing.
Amazing. But the problem
that's wild.
Right? But the problem here is that the treatment costs $900.
Well, it's pretty involved. They have to do, like, they have to put the needle in the exact, like there's like one
right.
nerve that they have to hit, and they have to use,
yeah.
They have to do like ultrasound to guide the needle. It's very involved, and it's pretty expensive. So
right, but it's also not covered by insurance.
Right, which is just insane.
The original post says it costs about $900 with ultrasound, which for some people is they can't pay $900.
Right,
you know that's not an out of pocket thing for them. They can't pay that. So Dakota Meyer set up a GoFundMe, and he's trying to raise $100,000, and it's through the Semper Fi Fund.
I'll put a link.
And 100% of the proceeds will go to the veterans for this procedure. And I just thought if something works so well and it can help so many people, I mean, PTSD in veterans is a serious issue. There is no reason why, like, people who have served their country and made all these sacrifices for their country should have to live in this hell of PTSD when they come home. And if we could help them in any way, and this seems like a big help, then it seems like a worthy cause to me. I'm not into, like, the whole GoFundMe for every, you know, everything, but this is like a big one.
No, GoFundMe.
Right. This is a big deal.
You know, the shameful thing is this is something the VA ought to be doing. The fact
they really should
not be. Is just shameful.
Yeah. I believe a lot of veterans would sign up to be volunteers to be like the guinea pigs for this.
Sure.
And which one of the Democratic candidates was on the VA committee? Let's not let people forget that.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be good old Bernie Sanders.
Yep. Thanks, Bernie.
And which one of the current darlings thinks the VA is all hunky-dory? Yes, that would be AOC, folks.
Right.
Oh, no. The VA system is perfectly fine, and it's great. There's a very simple, and in the scheme of medical procedures, $900 is pocket change.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
The VA should be handing this out like candy. Oh, but yeah. They won't because, well, it works. So
right.
Why would you want something that works?
And there are, I think the number is about 22 veterans commit suicide. I don't know if.
Yep.
Yeah. Weekly,
22
daily?
A day.
So this gets back to the whole socialized medicine thing, because what happens when the government is responsible for paying people's health care? Suddenly they're not interested in things that like prolong life and things like that, because they want you to die because they don't want to have to take care of you.
So, if you die, it's a lot cheaper.
If you're employed and making money and paying taxes, fine. But the minute you become, you know, disabled or whatever and start costing money, you can go die. And you see that. You see it everywhere. You see it in England. You see it in the VA. I mean, there's a reason the VA is awful. incentives matter.
Well, the GoFundMe is at $12,370 of $100,000, which is shameful to me. Like everybody,
I'm surprised.
I know it should. It should be. It's yeah. But if we could just help, you know, that would be great. Anyway, off my soapbox. I just think it's a big deal and important.
I think most GoFundMes, if they don't meet their goal, they get returned or something like that. I think this charitable giving one, they get the money no matter what.
Well, I hope so.
If it's a charity thing, so.
So give.
Yeah.
Because this is worthwhile.
Yep.
Yep. So anyway, next week.
And what do we got? That note.
That's right.
What do we got next week? Anything?
Us.
We'll come up with stuff. I'm sure somebody will say or do something stupid and or infuriating.
It'll be the 18th of July. So, you know.
Okay.
We will have survived a hurricane.
You did not get a hurricane.
No, I said we will have survived a hurricane by then. I mean the collective we. The U.S.
I don't think the
Southern American we.
Well, the hurricane passed you by.
Is it much risk of a hurricane?
It hadn't hit. Yeah, it's in the Gulf still. So, but it's good. It looks like it's going to smack Louisiana. So.
Wow. Hey, Brita.
Yeah.
Does Ohio get hurricanes?
We do not.
You do actually, but they're not hurricanes anymore.
No, it's just a rainstorm. By the time it gets here.
Yeah, you get all those Gulf hurricanes wind up over Ohio eventually. Because that's where the storm goes.
Well, we need the rain, so it's all right. Oh, I wanted to recommend, before we end, I wanted to recommend everybody watch American Princess. It's a TV show on Lifetime, and it is phenomenal. And it's such a nerdy, if you've ever been to a Ren Faire, Jay.
Nah.
Yeah.
You would freaking love it.
I liked it. It was a great
series. I've never been to a Ren Faire, Brita. I don't know what you're talking about.
This show is so funny.
Ren Faires in 6-7 different states.
Uh-huh. Well, keep an eye out for American Princess, because the story is that there is this very wealthy Jewish Upper West Side New York girl socialite kind of girl. And something terrible happens in her life, and she ends up running away and joining the Ren Faire. And it is really a great show. It's hysterical.
She started off thinking it was a theme wedding.
Yeah.
And then realized it was a Renaissance fair and became a bar
witch. Anyway, it's funny and kind of dirty humor, but also nerdy if you're a nerd who goes to Ren Faires.
If you've ever been to a Renaissance Fair, you have seen everything that happens on the show.
Yeah, totally. So, it's great.
So cleavage up to the moon. People drinking.
The dirty jokes and the sexual innuendo and all the stuff. Yep. It's all there.
Yep. Anyway, okay, good night, everybody. We're over time. Yep. And the internet's going to kick us off. So.
Oh, no.
We'll be back next week.
Yep, see you next week.
Same scroll time, same scroll channel.